Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, it's me, Mike. I run the Sonar Podcast Network, the very one you're listening to right now. I love podcasting and I love the Canadian podcast community. And if you're a podcaster, work in podcasting, or just someone who loves podcasts, you're going to want to listen up. I'm proud to announce that I've been working very hard behind the scenes on an incredible podcasting event in Toronto on June 6th, the Soundwave Summit 2024. And as a Sonar listener, you get 15% off on all tickets with the code SONAR15. An awesome group of podcast companies and creators have banded together to create a space for podcasters and fans to build community, share knowledge, and celebrate indie productions. There will be a ton of informative sessions all day, including talks from Canada Land, Vocal Fry, Black Canadian Creators, Lead Podcasting, and of course, from us, the Sonar Network. And in the evening, there will be a showcase of live podcast recordings from Blacklantic, Squirrel Talk, and the Women of Ill Repute. And it's all emceed by the amazingly talented and Survivor-winningest host of Happy to See Me podcast, Erica Kostupinen. Join us for insightful workshops on podcasting, networking with industry pros, drinks, and overall amazing opportunities to meet and collaborate with like-minded podcast lovers. Come for the sessions in the day, the live podcast showcase at night, or better yet, come for the whole thing. Tickets are going fast, so get them now at thesoundwavesummit.com. And don't forget to use the code SONAR15 for 15% off all tickets. That's SONAR15. See you there.
Hi, it's me, Ben.
And it's me, Abba. And you're listening to Nostalgie.
Abba, hi.
Hi.
You gorgeous, gorgeous spring flower.
Stop. You're a gorgeous spring flower. You're looking very spring today, but like spring circa 1988. Like you look very cool.
Oh, kind of like dirty spring.
Oh, no, not even dirty, honey.
Like, no, I look like grime. Oh, like fresh. I was thinking kind of like a little, maybe kind of a grimy, a little bit hippie. Kind of like.
You know what the vibe you're giving me? So, in like in the 80s, Baltimore was like really popular, right?
Course.
I don't know. I'm because I think about the 80s and I think about Baltimore for some reason. You're giving me the vibe of like a dude in Baltimore who works in a factory, but he really wants to be an artist. Like you're too cool for everyone there. No one gets you.
Can I add? And guess he's secretly gay and he's getting absolutely plowed by the factory manager.
Yes.
And he's got to get out of the town because factory manager's married.
Yes.
And
his wife's going to come after you.
People are starting to get wise to it. So then yes. I get a one-way ticket to, you guessed it,
New York. New York. Exactly. City.
And then I meet your character.
Who's my character?
Okay, so you've already been on Broadway. You're kind of like a tap dancing ingenue, but like you're kind of still breaking and breaking through, and we're roommates.
Tap dancing.
We start a tap dancing duo act.
Stupid.
We should take a tap class.
We should. I think we'd both be really good at it.
We would be, yeah. First of all. But I feel like the most important part about tap is like you need to have a fun character. You need to have a fun energy.
Yeah.
And I've seen a lot of like soulless tap. You know what I mean? Like people tapping and it looks manic. It looks like this is just the steps.
I'm like, where's the beat? Find the beat.
Where's the beat? We'd be selling it.
Yeah. Because we already have this vibe that's like Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
Oh my God. When I was a kid, I did want to be on Broadway.
I thought you were going to say you did want to be Tweedledee and Tweedledum.
I did want to be Tweedledee. Yeah. Well, if we're talking Alice in Wonderland, I wanted to, it wasn't about the Mad Hatter, it was all about that cat.
The Shire Cat.
She was fierce, that cat.
I hated that cat for some reason.
Real, I love so many teeth.
So many teeth. That's what it is.
And honestly, I'm literally only picturing, and this is sick, and this is going to make me seem like a Philistine to our guests, but I'm picturing the Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. Remember that?
I don't remember that one.
It was dark. It was twisted. Remember, there was such, it was like the fiercest trend of like the mid to like 2005 to 2008.
Yeah.
We're all about like, okay, imagine we take a fairy tale and we make it like Tumblr dark. You know what I mean?
That also happened recently in like 2013, 2014.
What happened?
That was whole vibe. It came back.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Huntsman's Winter Soldier. Yes. Soldier. Yeah. I was about to say Winter Soldier.
I don't know.
That's Marvel.
I
don't know. All I know is that Charlize Theron was a wicked queen.
And Miss Angelina Jolie was in it.
Maleficent.
That's Maleficent. That was different.
And the thing is, this contributes to our thesis that there's too many.
Exactly.
Make fairy tales happy. They were happy when I was a kid. And that was good enough.
Like the Jungle Book, the recent one that came out. Okay, full disclosure. The reason I don't like it is because I watch it with someone I no longer talk to.
But it also,
as a movie, sucks. Like, why did that little boy have to suffer so much?
That little boy suffered a lot. And second of all, and I've said this before, I think on the pod, that monkey was too big. It was huge. I was seeing it in IMAX, and I had, you know, when you're like nervous and you have to pee, I had to piss my pants watching that big monkey. And the arms were so big, and there were times where the arms were reaching out, and the perspective, I was like, no monkey, like, yes, obviously some monkeys have long arms, but I was like, not that long. Disney,
that is so stupid. You know? That is so funny. I love that so much.
And I hate monkeys. Remember when that woman on Oprah got her face
ripped off by the monkey? I always think about that whenever I see a monkey that's like, you know how that monkey was going viral recently? That really fluffy brown and white monkey that's like asking for
bananas
or whatever. I hate it because it looks powerful.
They'll kill you. And they know what they're doing.
Yeah, and they do know what they're doing.
Because if dogs know what they're doing, then monkeys sure do. Because my dog, like, he can beg for a treat.
Yes.
But, like, a monkey, they do that on, like, it's a more of a twisted kind of, like, almost like psycho.
Something snaps in them. They're like, enough.
Enough.
It's like a beat from one of my sketches. There's always a beat in one of my sketches where it just gets too much and someone goes, enough. It's so stupid.
I think that's just life in general.
It's just remedial. Like,
oh, my God. I did a sketch. Mm-hmm. I did a sketch as a kid. I went to theater camp.
Oh,
surprise.
Yes. You've been doing comedy for a long time.
Doing comedy, And the character, it was a sketch, and the character's name, this woman's name was Dolores. And she loved Dolores, and she loved jam, and she was a secretary.
And this
was my character, and get this, this is so cringe to admit. Mm-hmm. I went to that camp like 3 summers in a row. Yeah. I brought back that character every time. Oh. And not only did the counselors live for it, the parents did. And parents would literally come back and be like, I'm so glad you brought back Dolores. Imagine what that did to my ego.
Ben, as a child. I feel like you were that girl. Like, you were that girl. If Dolores was good, then she was good. And there's no reason you had to hide
And
her.
I'm not going to deny that she wasn't funny. Like, of course, there was always something there. Yes. There was always a spark of talent in me as a child. But it was also just like, I mean, I was truly probably just like, I think I was like truly imitating what the smoker people. I don't watch The Simpsons anymore. Marge's sisters.
Okay, Marge.
It was
Simpson
literally that.
Is mixed. She's black and white.
She is. No, it's true. And. our guests are laughing. Our guests are nodding. They all agree.
That's really funny. She's mixed race. She is. Okay. It's based off of the Loving Family. You know that family?
Not the Loving Family? that famous case in
the South. Famous case where they fought to be able to be married to each other.
So you're saying Marge, that character's been played by Marge Simpson, but also Academy Award nominating actress Ruth Negga.
Ruth Negga. Can you believe her last name is Negga? I
did have a mental pause before I said it, for sure. She's Irish.
She is. She's Irish and black.
I love Irish accents to me.
They're beautiful. She used to be on Misfits. Like it.
Wait, who did she play?
She played a side character that died. And she was dating the tall black guy.
She exploded. Did she explode in the car?
Something like that. I don't know.
There was a lot of was she the girl who like, oh no, I think this was different. But remember there's kind of that episode where it was like two rant. It was like, what's his face found out he had a brother, and then his power was he could get super hot, and then he hooked up with a girl who she could get super cold, and then that made the car explode.
What? Yeah, why was that so loud?
That's science.
I don't remember.
But it was
that.
Really sad. It was really sad.
What season was that?
I forget, but it was with who was the Irish boy who couldn't die. It was his brother.
Robert Sheehan?
Robert Sheehan. And his he found out he had a brother, and he was so happy
this
that he found out he had a brother.
This must have been later season, no? Because I don't remember this. I stopped watching like season 3, season 4.
I watched it all back in high school. And
me too.
And I loved it.
You know what I used to do? This is so scumbag. This is so scumbag. This is how far I've come. So my friends would come over to my house in the summer, and my friend, I'm not going to say her name. She drove. We'll call her C. She drove. So she'd drive us to Chapters, and we'd watch Misfits in the Starbucks that was in the Chapters Indigo, because
that's so glamorous.
I was scared my parents would be mad that I had friends over during the day. It was such a scumbag thing to do, to just watch TV at Starbucks.
No, that's freedom.
No, it's the equivalent of bringing a desktop computer. Starbucks.
Okay, this for some reason I was picturing a phone. I was picturing like three of you around like an iPod Touch.
No, we were around my laptop.
Because I was that. I would download movies and put them on my iPod Touch.
Me too.
Watch them in a spare alone in the library.
Oh yeah.
You had
a spare.
Living.
Oh my god, we're being so dumb today. Have you noticed?
You have a spare.
Jumped from top
I did.
To top.
No, I did, but I did have a, and get this. This is so. Yeah. This is why art school is fake, and why like I have no education, is because in grade 12, this is what my day was. Mm-hmm. So it was like there was day one, day two, and the periods were different for each day. So day one, it was like, if I'm remembering correctly, the first half of the day just drama.
Okay.
Like that's all it is. You're acting.
Wow.
I had lunch, a spare, and then like English class. So that day, like that's nothing.
Yeah.
And then day two, get this, the day started with a different drama class, then creative writing, then lunch, and then it was like French and like probably like a history something.
Oh my gosh.
I know, it was nothing.
Ben, you know what? No, this schedule is really making me miss academia.
Really?
Yes.
I said this.
You're such a scholar.
I want to go on a semester abroad more than anything.
You've been out of school for so long.
That's truly just what, because I never went on one, and I just like, I want to go for 2 months, just go to a random university and just to somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then take like, just have two classes. And like, imagine just being a little joy scholar and taking a class without like fear of it contributing to like a degree.
Yes.
Or like how this affect my GPA. Just being like, I just want to do well in this class.
Yes. I do think about that often, but I'm also so lazy.
I know. I'm lazy. I would never. First of all, I would never do it. Listeners should know that it'll never happen.
But you dream about it.
I can dream.
You know who else we dream about?
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah, you can guess.
Our guests.
Yes.
Yes.
They're
I knew it.
Very, very famous sketch troupe from Toronto. You've seen them very many places, including the Ossington and Toronto Sketch Fest. They are very special.
They're very special. They have a new sketch comedy album out now called Condo Art.
Condo Art. You know
Condo
that hideous art?
Hideous art. And also the album artwork, literally some of the most iconic heinous.
It's
condo
it's
art.
Iconic.
In the city. But truly download that wherever you could download just anything audio. I'm talking Apple. I'm talking Bandcamp.
Bandcamp.
More money.
Yes. Bandcamp has Bandcamp Fridays.
I screamed Bandcamp. My dog started barking. Truly. And
it
so
was
I got
like,
set.
Buy that shit, bitch. You can purchase it on Bandcamp. Oh, check out their YouTube. They have a new YouTube name. It's youtube.com/publicworkscomedy. Check out their stuff there. Give them streams. Buy their album. And without further ado, prepare your
Please
ears for
welcome.
Alex Kalenko, Caleb Ratten, Connor Lowe.
Yay. Did we say them all in unison?
I don't basically.
Know.
This is deja vu.
Yay. Callum, I butchered your name. I was scared when I said it. I'm going to say it. Callum Ratten.
Perfect.
Ratten.
This is big deja vu. Have we recorded with each other before?
Have we?
This is huge deja vu.
No, you know why it's deja vu? Abba, I know why. Because Connor Lowe is a big part of our lives.
But this part specifically of us being like, Caleb Ratten, and Caleb being like, no, it's, whoa.
Well, I think as minutes ago we did ask him. when we weren't recording.
It's deja vu
because we asked him and we forgot.
Yeah, right before your 10-minute intro.
Okay, I'm crazy. Fine, whatever.
But there's multiple levels of deja vu because we've been on Alex's pod.
That's
Connor's
true.
Has been intertwined with the nostalgic narrative since the beginning of quarantine.
That's true.
And Callum is the dark horse in this, but feels like he's always been there.
He has, lurking.
Lurking. Hiding. But welcome, you guys. Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Thanks
really
for having us.
It's great to be on this side of things.
I know, right? We're always yelling things at you. Can you change the music? My audio sounds weird.
And now it's on you.
Exactly.
Now it's all on us. We don't have Connor to blame.
We don't.
Just an aside of your story of like the Starbucks and like watching TV in the Starbucks. I worked at the Starbucks in a Chapters in 2008 to like 2010-ish.
Oh my God.
And it was the only Starbucks in Etobicoke at the time. And I kicked out so many people for watching porn.
Oh, my
like,
God,
that
ew!
Was, like, half of my job was, like, stop watching porn in the Chapter Starbucks. And, like, it became a thing where, like, because they asked me, like, I would do the closing. And it's like, can you kick out this guy because you're tall, not realizing I'm also frail. But
you're not frail.
I'm very frail.
I think medically,
I shouldn't be alive. and I would do that, but it became a thing of like I enjoyed it. Like it was kind of fun to be like, hey.
Oh my God.
So like then it was like, oh, there's a guy watching porn. I'm like, oh, goody, and like I get to go like be mean to somebody, and it's all okay.
I absolutely identify with that. When I used to direct a theater camp for children, some days I would direct traffic, and it was like a rich kid camp. So there would be like dads like speeding onto campus and like children are running around. You ought to be careful in their Teslas. And I got to go in front and be like, stop.
Yeah.
Like, no. And they would be so, so mad. Mm-hmm. And I got off on it every time. Mm-hmm. So that's important. We all need to have that little taste of power.
Yeah,
I love that, Ben. The second either of us get the smallest bit of power, we're like, time to trip all over it. Like,
absolutely.
So sometimes you have to use your power to fuck over the people who deserve it. Like when I worked at the Varsity Center at U of T, there was this dickhead hockey player who would come in once a week to play a game. And one day, I think like, they didn't get the scheduled space that they wanted, and so he was mad about it. And he came up to the desk, and he's like, "What did he say?" He was like, "When are you guys gonna do your job right?" And I was like, "When you guys win a fucking game."
Oh!
I got in trouble for it, but like not big trouble. They're like, "Don't say that again." They don't fire you at U of T. So I'm just a big fucking bitch to all the hockey players. They deserved it.
That's the secret for most jobs is that they really don't want to fire you.
Yeah, they don't.
Like firing you is such a big problem. That's the secret for most jobs. Yeah.
Exactly.
When I was a bartender and someone was rude to me, I would just not put in alcohol in their drink if they had a mixed drink.
Gorgeous. I love
that's beautiful.
Did they ever catch you or did you get away with it?
Because that'll just lie. It's in there. Do you want me to overserve you? Like,
yeah. You're asking me to do something illegal. Oh, that's very funny.
Oh, man.
That's the best way to get someone back. I love that.
So, Connor, how have you used your power?
Yeah.
I don't know.
He's like, I've muted
Poorly?
Coco.
Poorly, yeah.
Muted Coco.
Yeah.
I muted her once.
Oh, my God. Well, you can use your power whenever you want. Even on this pod, we won't be mad at you.
I will.
Okay.
I'll be mad.
I'll mute myself.
No, that's fine. You won't be on the pod. It's okay. Oh my god.
But that's beautiful. I truly think that, like, especially, I don't know, working jobs like bartending or you're at a Starbucks, I feel like people treat these places like this is fun time. Yeah. I could go at, I could do anything. I could even watch TV with my friends or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's good to it's fun to be like the person to be like, "No, I'm going to make the world a better place today."
Yes.
That's what all of us have done in each of our own way.
Yeah, by being mean to hockey players.
we deserve recognition.
I worked at Starbucks for a while, and it was just like, if you're hanging out in a Starbucks, you know, just do it.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to ruin your day if your day is hanging out in a Starbucks.
That's true. That is
totally,
true.
Totally. I feel like it would definitely be like, how are they hanging? I feel like if they're jerking it. In Alex's case, I totally get it.
Oh my but god, were just they jerking
you didn't say actually. I just assumed.
I hope they weren't, because that's disgusting.
I didn't see any jerking it. I think like part of it was like, porn in public.
Have you seen that meme of an old man on a megabus and he has a laptop and he's watching gay porn, but he's like angled to like. So the screen's not facing the aisle, but the reflection of the window.
Ew, you can just see the porn. Like,
it's like he's projecting the porn. It's so funny.
Ew, why do people need to do that? That's not okay.
I know. That's I think so it's because they're sad.
It is. Or, I just have to look like the pot. What if it's anxiety?
Oh, yeah.
Like they're anxious.
Well, if it's anxiety, I say put your mental health first, honey. Self-care is important. wait, what were you going to say?
You know who didn't put their mental health first?
Abba, this is the best transition you've ever made.
Do it, Abba.
Do
Death
it.
Cap for cutie, honey.
That's right. The like, public works boys have picked Death Cab Death for Cab. Cutie.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I feel like...
You go for it.
The picking process for us was probably... Mm-hmm. The most we've argued in a very long time.
Oh my god. Ooh,
tell us about it.
Oh,
yeah.
I suggested Charmillionaire and Alex pulled him a punchline and I'm still a little mad at it.
Okay.
The problem is that, like, and we put together a whole sketch album. We have not argued like we have. So, like putting together a sketch album is a lot of work and a lot of little arguments. Like you just keep, because that's like part of it. That's whatever.
Yeah.
That's what,
yeah.
But like
yeah.
This was, because we can agree on music, but like, no one wants to hear us talk about like the music we actually agree on.
Yeah.
Like no one's like, oh, we need an hour of three guys talking about Dillinger Escape Plan.
Yeah.
Like no one needs that.
That's just the least fun conversation at any party.
Yeah.
Which check out Bummer Boys if you want that. But like,
we do check it out.
And we do check it out. We stand.
Yeah.
Kind of like our podcast cousin, I say, our emo cousin.
Our emo cousin.
I love.
But we like get along. We're not at each
but we oh we get along. Yeah. No, it's definitely like at the family reunions.
Exactly.
It's like we're going for a walk.
Go on a walk together.
We're going on a walk.
We're definitely the two podcasts to go on a walk.
Yeah.
But I also feel like the stuff we were listening to in the like nostalgic era is like stuff we were trying to like actively trying to listen to stuff no one else liked.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes. I do get that. Yeah.
There are some, if someone like were to ask me like, oh, what were your favorite like bands in high school, they probably won't be like emblematic of like what were the most popular like whatever indie bands of the time. It would have been like me trying to be the coolest girl on the planet.
I would have been like Coco Rosie.
Tune Yards, totally.
Tune Yards, fucking, oh god, the goat. Oh,
I think
shit.
I think Tune Yards came out with like a new album recently.
They did. Oh, okay. And I'm like, shut up.
I know. But so we incited violence within the public works group chat. Who was like fighting for Death Cab? Who was maybe on the fence? Who was fine either way?
I think here's the true truth is that it was less Death Cab and more Postal Service for us. Like we were like, and they were like, oh, like Death Cab is something there's more to talk about. Like Postal Service is like one album and a new live album that I highly suggest you check out.
Ooh, okay. Cool.
I mean, the Ben Gibbard multiverse is vast and ever expanding.
Yes.
So. It includes Zooey Deschanel.
It does.
Of course.
It does.
Of course. Oh my God. So I love but Death Cab is like common ground, I guess. So we were maybe like we were the Oh my God! Is it anecdote or antidote?
Antidote.
We're the antidote. We're the antidote to the poison.
Yes.
That was coursing through all of your veins. I say.
Yeah. I genuinely.
You don't have
like,
to agree.
I was,
if you don't want to.
I was,
you don't have to agree.
No, you're right. Like,
terrible metaphor.
Yeah, no, okay, thank you. You can be real on this pod, Connor and Callum. Call me out on my shit, please.
But don't go, Alex. I was listening to Death Cab today, and like, if you had to pick, like, what was the Death Cab that I really enjoyed? It's like the old Death Cab. I still think like We Have the Facts and We're Voting Yes is like an album that like. If it was released today, people will be writing about it because it's tied to Death Cab. It's kind of like considered a little like blah blah blah. But like, man, fuck it. I still am like, yeah, this rips. Like, this is something I enjoy. No one's ever described Death Cab as ripping.
That's true. Yeah, no, it's so funny. I have such an interesting relationship to Death Cab because I feel like when I started listening to them, I was in grade 8. And I don't think I yet had the depth to understand their work like as a whole, but like for things like what's that song called on Plans?
I'll Follow You Into the Dark.
Yes, yes, I'll Follow You Into the Dark. It's like the wordplay in that song is like such a thing that like eighth graders love. It was very like that emo, like tongue in cheek, like kind of cheeky thing. And so I feel like I really connected to that song because it felt contrived. In a way, but everything else was too serious for me to understand. So I'm really curious to hear from you guys about like how you connected to the music. Was it a thing where you're like performing sadness, performing that kind of emotion? Yeah. Or were you like, no, genuinely like, this is ripping. This is fucking good music.
Yeah.
I feel like Death Cab was one of the bands that my teenage self thought, if I learned to play this on guitar, girls would like me.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Absolutely.
It was like that, Bright Eyes.
Yeah.
Oh,
oh my God, Bright Eyes, yeah.
Bright
oh
Eyes.
God.
Oh my God. Did Bright Eyes come out with a new album?
Yes. Like,
see,
recently.
This is,
like
what
last 2 years at least?
Something about quarantine has been dredging up like all these bands from.
Yeah, well, the depression.
Did you, Connor, did you ever learn, truly, did you ever learn how to play guitar to impress the ladies?
I learned how to play guitar, and tell you what, did not impress ladies.
Oh, that's okay.
That's okay. Oh, that's sometimes okay. Just having the guitar is enough.
It is.
Truly.
Oftentimes. but Callum and Alex, like, how did you guys connect to it?
I got into them through, because I have a twin brother, and so when you have a twin brother, you've got someone just to constantly reinforce your own ideas.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, we had our own weird little bubble of, like, just punk music we'd just listen to, because you've always got someone around to be like, yeah, I think you're cool for liking this. And I'm like, thank you. Identical twin, I think you're cool. And so Death Cab was me, like, again, trying to, like, a very angst. It feels like they're, like, lyrics you can write on the front of your, like, journal.
Yes.
With school.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
But I got into them through The O.C.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. The O.C. introduced me to a lot of good music, and I was barely even watching the show. Yeah.
Okay, as someone who did not watch The O.C., where in The O.C. was Death Cab presented
like
to you?
Oh, like every episode.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, but they're
literally in it.
Yeah. There's like, and like they're like characters in an episode. Like,
what?
It's insane.
Like, they would go to like a live music venue, and you'd see like a whole like...
Yeah.
It was like a variety show at a certain point.
Yeah.
Like, there'd always be a band.
Yeah.
Oh, and, that's interesting.
I'd read an interview with the guy who did the music, like, licensed all the music for The O.C., going like, I gotta read, like, this is fascinating to me. Of like, and he described it as MTV had the licenses to all these emo bands, and they had licenses to also, like, mid-2000s hip-hop.
Yeah,
and
like, Rihanna was on O.C.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, mid-2000s hip-hop was expensive.
Yeah.
But also more popular. Yes. So it's like, okay, when it, like, fit perfectly, I could pay the money for, like Little John. But otherwise, we got to fill this, like, it's part of The O.C. Because, like, part of The O.C. was, like, we need to have a lot of music in it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I could, like, the cost of a Dashboard Confessional song or an early Death Cab song was 1/100th the cost of, like...
Yeah.
A song that kids at the time were really listening to, but kids liked our show, so it kind of like went around, and like near the end of it, it was more expensive for me to grab the Death Cab song, mm-hmm. but I had to.
Because everyone became yeah. used to it. That's so yeah. funny. Wow. That's so interesting.
But I got into it because I liked a girl who liked it. And I think that's probably the most common story.
That's the Alex Polanco special. That's the Alex Polanco. How'd you get into that show, Alex? Well, I was dating this girl that liked it.
did she have a nose ring?
Eventually, not when I. She was definitely like a person who, like, eventually.
I rest my case.
Yes.
I rest my case, Alex Polanco. Yes, Callum.
Oh, I was going to ask, did she have bangs that were sharply angular?
Yes.
At the time, yes. At the time, she definitely had the sharp bangs.
Callum, okay. this specifically is what we came here to do. Asymmetrical bangs were such a, like, that was like a hallmark of like the huge. Alt, like, if you want to look like the coolest alt person on the street,
yeah,
asymmetrical bangs.
Yeah.
Oh my God, yeah.
I also remember going to Old Navy to buy my first pair of girls' jeans.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, wait, was that a thing within emo boys?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
you, really? Because they didn't make... They didn't make skinny jeans for men.
Whoa!
They
didn't make, this was I didn't know that.
Pre-skinny jeans. Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah. My like first like, because like I like grew up in like northern Queensland, so I didn't even own like long pants.
Oh wow!
Like
yeah.
you just wore shorts all the time. Yeah. And then like the only long pants I wore were skinny jeans.
Oh my God!
And they were girl jeans. Like that's like the yeah. only
that
place you could
so
get them.
Funny.
Yeah.
That
like
is
if you like a thing that like how public works like get along is like we were all like. Emo kids in the mid 2000s who grew up and are still kind of sad. that's a heavy reduction, but yeah. But like, if you look at anyone who looks like us at around 30, we've all purchased girls' jeans and had to be like. I think that is like one of the first barriers of like we like up until that point. Like, yes, there was horrible opinions on gender and sexuality yes. growing up, but like we were the first generation to be like. I guess I'm buying girls' jeans.
That's well, true.
It's cool. They're yeah. just jeans. Fuck it. Like,
I absolutely agree. I think you broke down gender barriers before people
yeah.
even knew what those were.
Move over Marsha.
Like, but truly, move over Marsha P. Johnson. Alex Kalenko before.
Alex threw the first brick at Stonewall.
I'm not saying that. Like,
I'm kidding,
I know for a full generation of
yes.
like,
no, of course.
Shithead Etobicoke
no, of course,
kids.
we're teasing.
This was the first time
yeah.
they ever thought
no.
about gender as
yes.
anything.
Yes.
Absolutely, that's totally
you
valid.
Should, you yeah. should put in right now Alex's old band Stonewall.
Oh my God! Iconic. That is gorgeous to me though because it's. I mean, I just took skinny jeans for granted.
Me too.
I'm
lying.
Oh.
That was so extra.
No, hold yourself accountable. What did you? What?
No, you say what you're gonna say. I cut you off.
I was just gonna say that like skinny jeans were so like readily available when I was in middle school, high school. Like they were everywhere, and it makes me happy to think that there was a time when like it's not like the fashion industry or fast fashion like pumped this look and was like here's skinny jeans, they're trendy. Like you guys specifically were like, no, I want this look.
Yes.
I can't get it.
But see,
so I'm gonna buy
thing.
Some girls jeans.
I remember being in grade 7 and reading J14 magazine. They're like, trend alert, next year skinny jeans are gonna be in, so like get on that trend because they were stealing from emo culture, duh. Classic appropriation.
Appropriation of the suburbs.
Yeah, of the suburbs. And I like ran to my mom. I was like, Mom, do you have skinny jeans? Like, can I borrow skinny jeans? Like, I need skinny jeans. Like, that's what all the kids are wearing. And she's like, yeah, I think so. We used to wear them in the 80s. And she pulled out these fucking acid wash, big booty ass mom jeans. Like, just huge where the hips are and so skinny near the ankles. Like, jeans made for a woman who's had, like, several children. And I was like, and I was prepared to wear them to school. I was like, no, I'll find a way to sew them tighter. Like, that's how strong the hold of, like, being cool for wearing skinny jeans was. It was ridiculous.
But awesome. Were they uncomfortable?
Very,
yeah.
I was going to say.
I was going to ask Connor and Callum, do you remember the first time you wore men's skinny jeans? And I was like, I'm never going back. Like, this is so much better.
I did, but also women's jeans, I don't know if it was just like where I shopped, but they were like $15 cheaper.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
And so like, yeah, I don't know, you're like 17, 18, $15 is...
Totally.
That's like a lot of like it's a lot of like darts and stuff. So you're like, oh, I gotta. I was like reluctant to get on the men's skinny jeans.
Well, I was like,
the crotch blew out so quick.
Yeah. that's like
subtle brag by Connor.
huge brag by Connor.
My crotches are my girl's jeans, skinny jean crotches are very intact.
Oh no. Y'all secretly knew.
The other one is every so often, because it was like you'd buy girls' pants, every so often you'd go in there and you'd be like trying on pants, like, oh, these are good and they fit really well, and you come out and your friend's like, yeah, those pants are glitter. Look at them. Like, oh yeah, yeah. I probably shouldn't go walk around wearing glitter pants.
Yeah, they say juicy in the back and right.
Yeah.
What are the skinny jeans of today? Because skinny jeans are out now. Everyone's ankles are free. Like, what are the things that the cool boys are wearing? Are they wearing gauchos?
I tried to wear like a big pair of like really baggy pants.
Yeah.
It was like, I think that's what like cool people are wearing now. And it could not pull off that look.
No. Yeah, no.
I look like a, I just look like I'd like, I look like Jared. Like it just didn't work for me.
Yeah. Sometimes the big pant look just doesn't work for me either. I quickly go into like mom territory.
I feel like it's only people who are like super super like thin when they wear baggy clothes, it like looks fashion. I wear baggy clothes and I just look like someone who's wearing,
I look like a schlub.
I'm wearing regular clothes.
Yeah, exactly. I don't look like anything. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh my god. Yes, Alex.
My last thought on skinny jeans, mm-hmm, is that that now when I wear regular jeans, I'm like, this is loose.
It's a bit wrong.
Like uncomfortable. I'm like,
yes.
I need to grab me.
Yes.
Yes. I need structure. I need to be reminded.
I need to remember that I'm wearing pants at all times.
Yes. I'm wearing like flared, not even flared, like just like kind of like loose pants. And I went for a walk before doing this recording. And I was so agitated the entire walk. I was like, I can feel it rubbing against me. Like, I hate the feeling of fabric. And it's cheap fabric, too. It's, like, clothes from H&M. Just rubbing against my legs. It feels like shit. I'd much rather it just have, like, a gorilla grip hold on my fucking ankles.
Bring back leggings.
My upper thigh has, like, no hair. I'm sure from the skinny jeans.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It all... rubbed off.
Yeah.
That's absolutely it. I have the same thing with, I would wear skinny jeans and I would wear like, I would always want to wear like fun socks that were super tight, and I'd pull them up all the way.
Yes.
And you could see like the median of like where the socks would end up, because the hair just like slowly gets shorter.
Disintegrated.
Yes. It disintegrates. It's the risk we take.
Exactly. The physical toll of being emo, like, I don't know if this is real, but there were people who were...
The physical toll of being emo is so funny. I'm picturing someone having, like, burns on their scalp from, like, straightening their hair and being like, it's not easy. Yes, Callum.
Did you guys ever dye your hair, like... Because I dyed my hair black to try to get, like, more of the emo look.
Yeah.
But I did it myself.
Oh, my God,
and
no.
And because my hair's, like, when it gets longer, it's, like, curly.
Yeah.
But instead of... It didn't go... It just kind of, like... I got called pube head for like months.
No.
And I thought I was going to be like, look like a cool guy from like Death Cab or like a metalcore band. And it just completely blackfired on me.
Oh,
like backfired on me. It was terrible.
That's so honestly, but it made you stronger.
It made you stronger. No, like people were actually taking risks to like look emo. Like there, I don't know if this is real, but I feel like I saw an article that was like kids were losing part of their eyesight in the eye that they had their bangs over because it wasn't getting any stimulation. Isn't that fucked?
No, I had that haircut, and let me tell you that like you get horrible migraines.
Oh my god!
Because you have like hair in your eye all the time.
One eye's doing all the work.
And you just get these migraines and be like, why are these headaches? And it's like, because you have hair. It's not a mystery. It's very obvious. I
thought of that.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And like a lot of your parents being like, get your hair out of your eyes. Yeah. What are you doing? You can't see.
You can't see. It's so impractical.
Oh my
god. And they were 100% right.
Yeah.
It's so true. I remember, it's so funny because like now I look at kids with hair in their face and I have that like old man attitude. I'm like, get your hair out of your face. But I was that kid, and I loved it. I loved the drama of it. I love, like, kind of brushing your hair, like, behind your ear. Even my hair's getting longer now, and I get to do that. So when you do it,
it makes
bit.
Sense. Before you
it's my fantasy. It's my fan. I love it. I love that meme. I hate when I bring up memes on the pod, but that's all I do in quarantine.
Why are you mad?
I don't know. I think it's because.
You like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you, Column, do you like it? Connor, you like it?
I'm nodding my head yes. Yeah, I do this all the time on podcasts.
Then I'll keep going. But it's just that meme of, like, it's literally like a triangle of vision, and it's like my eyesight from, like, 2011. It's just like a fraction of a dinner table.
That is so funny. Yeah.
I love.
Yeah.
I feel like when you dyed your hair black, because this is, I've been in so many high school bed or basement bathrooms, just like my friends freaking out over dyeing their hair. Did you do it alone, or were you like, did you have?
Yeah,
a team?
I did it by my. I was meant to do it with someone, and they got like detention or something. and I was like instead of like doing the calm thing of being like, maybe I could wait one day. I cannot live with that black hair. But I also had like. Brutal mutton chops, like sideburns.
Oh man, classic.
That was a style at the time too.
Talking about, like, I was like, girls will be impressed by my ability to grow facial hair, and they were brutal, like, they were terrible. But I dyed them as well.
No.
So I just had all of that, and just my mom just sitting there. And just looking up at me and being like, that's not how you meant to dye hair. And then going back to, like, she was in university at the time, so, like, just going back to, like, a paper. And I was just like, well, that's not helpful, Mom.
Oh, my God. I'm just picturing.
Oh, no.
Black mutton chops is such a severe. That's a statement.
That's the thing. It's like when you dye your hair, if you dye it literally any other color, you can kind of fix it. But black is really difficult to fix. Like, that's the one color that hairstylists hate having to fix, because, like, when you lift it, it's just all so, like, ashy. I just can't imagine.
Do you have pics?
Oh, for sure. Is MySpace still up? Because there's definitely
let's go on this MySpace.
R.I.P.
Oh my god.
To circle back to Death Cab.
Yes.
When I was listening to it today, I was like. Listening to, like, the stuff I liked, I was like, I'm gonna listen to, like, when they were really popular, like, at that time when it was like the skinny jeans.
Mm-hmm.
And as a kid, I remember being like, or as a teenager at the time, I remember being like into that stuff and into, like, emo stuff, and thinking Death Cab was like too popular, as you do.
Yeah.
And then now listening to it as someone who is like, we made this comedy album, but also like mixed music and done that. I was blown away at the production of Plants.
Oh my god!
Like, I was blown away so hard that my girlfriend, who does not care, got to hear an earful of me being like, "How do they get the drums to punch through?" And so this podcast has reopened a Death Cab wound. Where I'm like, now it's Death Cab all the time.
That's the best part about the podcast. I love when people will bring, like, an artist that I haven't listened to for, like, years, and it makes me feel like I'm back in high school. Like, just I all of a sudden have so much angst.
Oh, totally. I mean, that Plans is, that's such, I mean, that was my introduction. I feel, I guess, like, the first, like, Death Cab song I ever heard was probably Soul Meets Body, because it was just, like,
on the radio all the time.
And I remember as a kid being like, so there's something to this whole music thing. Like, mm-hmm. Really, and truly loving that album, and then, like, getting the deluxe version and listening to, like, Marching Bands in Manhattan, which I listened to today. That song does not only slap, it, like, punched me in the jaw. I was like, this is gorgeous. Yes. I was truly, I went for a walk with my dog. I was crying looking at the sun. It was gorgeous.
Aww.
What is everyone's, like, introduction to Death Cab? Like, what album did you first kind of like dive into?
I believe Transatlanticism, just because it was, like, so big. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, like, the album at the time. Which now I listened to it today, and I didn't really feel anything about it in the way that, like, the earlier or later stuff I really enjoyed. Yes. And I don't know what it is. I wish I had an answer to that. I was just like, kind of like, I listened to it and I was like, this is fine. Which is wild for me to dismiss what was probably their biggest album by far.
Yeah.
I feel like Plans was like the the big one. Mm-hmm. But like for me, it was transatlanticism of mm-hmm. just like it was also like when Plans came out, it was the album that like my friends who did improv in high school mm-hmm. and my friends who played in bands in high school both liked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there was like, that's such a slim Venn diagram.
Yeah.
But like, because I had already liked transatlanticism, I felt like I was able to guide people in.
Yeah.
A shepherd for Death Cab
yeah.
fans.
Yeah.
Just a Jehovah's Witness for Death Cab.
Just Alex's mom being like, I'm Jewish. I don't care about Death Cab.
Oh my
it's
God.
Like, let my people go.
But what about you? What about you, Alex? And Callum, what were your... Wait, did you guys already answer?
Alex already tried, but he failed.
I tried.
Oh, yes.
And he failed.
Okay.
Callum, you better bring it home with your answer.
I loved Postal Service. Oh, okay. That was like a big, like, at parties.
Yeah.
Kind of like I remember just being like similar to Alex, like very drunk in high school and that song coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And me being like, oh, it's like sad and horny at the same time. Yeah. Like, so excited for it.
So that.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
And then through that, I think it was just random LimeWire songs of Death.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't even think of a whole album. It's just whatever someone was kind enough to put up.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. Yeah. There, I always forget that, like, I didn't have money to download iTunes songs. You can only download, there wasn't streaming yet. And I used LimeWire to get a lot of these songs. And so that's why I think your comment about the production is so interesting, because I never experienced that listening to music.
Yeah.
In high school, I was like pirating everything off of like Pirate Bay. Yeah. Well, when I learned how to pirate stuff, I could get just like the album quality, but still it's like been through so many different processes.
Yeah.
It still sounds different. So I really want to go back and like listen to it properly, because like I kind of just skipped through.
Man, Plans, it's like they recorded it on the moon. I will talk about like the most boring topic you could possibly drop in this podcast of me being like, how did they, that just the time they must have spent on this. but to Callum of Postal Service, was like probably the bigger band for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you were saying surprised about Girls Jeans. Postal Service was not cool. Like Postal Service was like Death Cab was like a little cool at a time, and then it got less cool. And Postal Service, at least for my circle, was like uncool of like, you know, what's like, Ben Gibbard isn't exactly cool. Mm-hmm. And you know what's even less cool than Ben Gibbard? Electronic music. Because like 2004, like what? Like electronic music like came back. But like at that time, it was not cool.
Yeah, I agree. There was kind of people thought of it as like cheap, kind of.
Everything was compared to like Euro trash.
Totally.
But I was really into it.
It was also the idea of like being sad and horny in high school and not needing to convince your friends to be in a whole band of if I buy like a microcorg, I could make this myself.
Yeah.
I could keep this sad and horny to the bedroom where it belongs.
I could find a way to never leave my house.
Do you guys remember that band Owl City? They were like the weird, like, I guess, like Christian Postal Service like ripoff.
Yeah.
I mean, they were Fireflies, right?
Your eyes.
Did you see the thing where it's like someone tweeted at the Owl City guy, and it's like, when you say you want to hug 1,000 fireflies, do you mean you want one big hug of 1,000 fireflies or 1,000 tiny hugs of individual fireflies? And like he responded, like, why are you asking?
Yeah, like, fuck you.
And then he's like, no, I must know. It's all I think about.
That's so funny, though.
I have to wonder now, also. Oh, my
God. Oh, that's really
funny.
Were
you an Owl City stan, Callum?
I think I did like it because, like...
Yeah.
But then I think I realized how uncool it was.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, I don't like that. But I for sure did.
I feel like people who grew up really liking Owl City are furries now. No offense to furries.
That
tracks.
That's galaxy brain for sure. That's
just the vibe it's giving. That's just the vibe.
When I was in like university, the girl I was in university was like, wanted to see Owl City. And like, this is like, Owl City is not pop, like not even like, it's both uncool and now still, it's like 2012 or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm broke, and I'm like, I'm gonna pay $40 to see Owl City.
Oh, ew.
And then she got mad at me, but still went to go see Owl City.
Oh God.
And like went alone and just kind of cried and watched Owl City and blamed me for it. And I was like, so Owl City to me is like, that's what Owl City is, of like of like a mildly unhealthy a university relationship.
Oh God.
Totally. Alex, I hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
But that was for sure a cover, and she cheated on you with Owl City.
And I wouldn't believe my eyes. But going to an Owl City concert and crying alone feels like that should be a death cab story. Like that feels like that should be like what you do for death cab.
Yes.
Have either of you guys seen Death Cab Live?
No.
I did. Because a friend of mine worked at the Molson Amphitheater, and I used to go see a bunch of shit at Molson Amphitheater because he was security, and he would just pretend to scan whatever I pulled in my pocket.
Oh, and that's stand friends cool like friend. That.
Which
yes.
is like, which is like,
love that shit.
Play the communist anthem here. no property. And so I went and saw. So but it was like that's like later. I think it was like the Narrow Stairs era Death Cab.
Yeah.
And so it was like a big, big show. I wish I had seen it when it was like super early. I feel it'd be a more interesting show. Because like just seeing like Death Cab at that size and like this, it doesn't, I was like, cool. But it's like, I don't think the music translates for that.
Yeah.
My friend Rebecca, because I said I was doing this podcast, told me that she saw, she's a little older than I am, but she saw Death Cab in 2001 at Play the Cathedral.
Okay.
Which is a very small venue in Toronto. I'm like, that must have been cool. And she's like, I was 17 and smoking inside.
That's really fucking cool.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, that's fucking cool. She's like, she's like, I think it's just a ridiculous story. Like,
that
it's
is
ridiculous.
So cool.
That's so great. Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. So how old were you all when you were listening to Death Cab?
Oh, it's very much a teenage thing.
Teenagers, right?
Would have been like 13, 14.
Yeah. Do you listen to their new stuff at all, like they're new? Because I like Kintsugi. I like that album. I'm gonna put myself out there and saying that I listened and I liked it.
I've grown out of music.
is this for real?
It's mostly because I would like for work. I would listen to what's popular now to be like, okay, I've got to play these songs before a comedy show happens.
Yeah.
And now. Like, I don't know, like, if podcasts were a thing when I was a teen,
Interesting.
Would I have, instead of being in bands, been in podcasts?
Oh my gosh, Connor, this is so interesting.
A philosophy king.
Are you saying you don't like music? Are you one of those people?
No, I still love music. It just seems like so much effort
to get into
listen
new music?
To... Yeah, because like I'll still listen to the same Refused record over and over again. But...
Right.
This is exactly my biggest fear.
Look, Connor, you do have an interesting point about if podcasts were around when, because like podcasts were around when I was in high school, I just like wasn't listening to them.
Yeah,
but if I was listening to Comedy Bang Bang, I don't know, in high school, would I have been that kid who, instead of my personality was like alt music, would I have been like the kid who's obsessed with Comedy Bang Bang or like Super Ego or something? Like that would have been. That would have been a different path.
I'm now realizing there's 100% podcasts that are made by teens on the internet right now.
I mean, we're one of them.
Honey. I mean,
we're teens.
I'm
18.
Don't hurt me 60. Like that.
I'm 16.
Every time you tell me your age, it seems like it's lower and
lower. How old are you, Alex? Well, you don't have to answer.
I'm 31.
That's your spring chicken.
I'm
an old man.
I'm old enough my knees wake up my dog. Like I'm
old
enough.
I love that.
That's
normal. I have a knee that does that, but that's just because I got doored when I was in high school.
Oh God!
But
Ben's been doored so many times.
I've been doored a lot. Yeah. But I'm turning 20. Get this, 25 in a week.
Oh yeah, your birthday's coming up. Oh, Benny!
Oh my God! Can't wait. So I mean, Jake, I'm not gonna do anything.
We'll do a Zoom thing.
I mean, I'll definitely see my friends in some capacity. But like, my mom was like, "What do you want to do?" And I was like, first of all, living at home at 25 is already bad enough.
So
to
be asked that, come on.
It's so sad.
Oh, it could be worse.
I don't know. I see the podcast immediately became about me.
You don't love your mom? Is that what you're saying?
No, I do love my mom. Which brings me to my next question. Our relationships with our mothers, boys. I'm kidding. But
how long will this podcast to run?
It was like, now we enter hour two. So Connor, you are kind of, you're not so much of a music guy. Alex, I know you are. Callum, what's your relationship with music these days?
Well, so I have a 4-month-old. So,
Oh my god, I love that.
And so he pretty much like, and again, I don't listen to a whole bunch of new music, but when he's awake, he pretty much dictates what sort of music you want. Right, and he is not a fan of Death Cab.
What does he like?
He loves Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, he's gay. He's gay. Oh my god.
And he loves She's So Unusual, her debut album. And he loves like the deep cuts.
Oh.
He loves like Witness and like Money Changes Everything. Yeah. And then he likes like anything that's like nice and bounce, like got like a bit
like
of bounce
kids,
to
yeah,
it.
Kids music. Yeah. Oh, that's that is sweet. The cutest I love thing. Kids so much. Oh my god. Yeah. I'm down to babysit amazing. Whenever.
Same. I need money. Callum, that's so sweet. That's so sweet, truly. Like,
but I put on Death Cab and he did look at me like, what is this?
He's like, I'm not depressed. I just got here. Don't do this. Yeah.
Take me down off the front. Like,
He's like, but just also realizing music cannot be fun.
Yeah. Oh, you ruined it for him.
That's so funny.
Oh man, that's funny. Oh my
but
god.
But I feel like I remember you telling us about playing him Fugazi in the womb or something like that. Yeah.
No, not Fugazi. Fucked Up. because the problem is when you pay your kid stuff is you're also forcing your wife to listen to that music.
Yes,
as well,
exactly.
So
Your pregnant wife. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, just let me. And because you've got to like hold it down near the belly, so I was like, just let me blare like a hardcore band from Byron Bay for like 10 minutes, just so I know that it'll be like real tough when he comes.
Oh my god.
That's so cute. I love that. That's so interesting. That's like something about parenting that I never really thought about, is that you can really like curate your child's music taste from a young age.
Oh, I thought ABBA was the best band in the world.
I am.
And I still do.
They are.
They're amazing. I still love them. But I remember getting to school and realizing not everyone only listened to ABBA Gold.
That is such god. I love your parents for doing that. What was your favorite ABBA song?
Super Troopers.
Super Troopers.
But is there a bad ABBA song?
No. Yes.
Oh my god, I love that so much.
I mean, I the same thing for me with my parents, but like where Callum got ABBA, for me it's I thought everyone listened to the same weird 80s goth bands that my dad forced on me. And I'm like, why is no one talking about Mona Lisa's Smile? And
that's really funny.
It's like not even my friends are talking about Mona. Like you got like you're alone on this one.
Oh no.
It's just me and you, baby.
What was like the first like time you remember like identifying like a musician?
I know.
Oh, ABBA.
I was two, and it was Celine Dion, and I was dancing to it because Nigerian people love Celine Dion. She is our like empress. We love her so much, and she was really popular in the late 90s. So they Nigerian movies, which were really popular, one came out like every 5 minutes. They would always use "I'm Alive," and there'd always be like these soap opera tropes of like, you think the main character is dead, but no, she really has a twin. And then, like, I'm Alive would play. There's, like, some video of me dancing to it with my grandpa. But that's the first time I remember being able to be like, oh, this is Celine Dion singing. Or, like,
that's
this is Annie Ernest
singing. That's so cute. Yeah. Oh, I know for me it was definitely Madonna.
Madonna.
That's for sure. My mom's like a huge Madonna. I know, exactly.
So gay with you.
I never stood a chance.
You never did.
But my mom would play Madonna, and I truly have a memory of, I think it's the music video for Frozen where she's in the desert and she has like that long black wig.
And it's like really like blue tones.
Yeah. Oh, very, very dark. Mysterious. I have, that might be number, my first, it's either that or the music video for Like a Prayer, but those are like kind of my first like music video memories also. Those are like the first images that come to mind.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah. What about you guys?
I remember being like 3 or 4, and my dad tells the story all the time, is that he would drop me off at like daycare, and I was a big fan of the Smashing Pumpkins. He played the Smashing Pumpkins for me, and they had an ad for like Lollapalooza or like Woodstock 2 or something. I can't, like, one of those like big, you know, alt rock things, and they were like, and we have Smashing Pumpkins, and me, like, my dad pulling me out of a car seat to go to like thing. I'm like, we gotta go, Dad. Oh. The Smashing Pumpkins. Oh, like, God, we, like, this so is cute. Important to both of us. A thing we can bond over. My dad be like, I am 100% not taking a 3-year-old to Lollapalooza. Oh, like, just like,
was your dad obsessed with that though? You. Was he like so? He must have been so happy.
Well, I didn't know there was other music. Like, I was like, I was just like, I was like, the biggest band in the world right now is Smashing Pumpkins, Red Hot Chili Peppers, The Cure. Like, they were all on the same level for me.
But then, like, stuff like
Fine Young Cannibals was like, I'm like, yes, that is a band for everybody. They are as important today as they ever has been.
Yeah. That's incredible. And then you finally heard children's music and you're like, so depression isn't a constant state.
Alex, you were just like, I never stood a chance being gay. You never stood a chance being happy, it seems.
Oh, yeah. No, I came out of the womb. Like, my mom got mad at my dad because I was singing the Beastie Boys.
Yeah.
And being like, why are you playing this for our kid? And, you know, it's like a fight for your right to party and the line, like, my mom threw away my best porno mag.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what a porno mag was. No. And they kind of slur their way through it. And so I thought it was, my mom threw away my best toy, No Mash. And like, No Mash being like some sort of slang I was not aware of.
Yay.
Of like, oh man, No Mash.
No Mash.
You know, Toys R Us, you're like, give me a fucking No Mash.
No Mash.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my best toy, No Mash.
No Mash. Best toy, No Mash.
You got a party because mom's just throwing away toys.
No, no Mash.
It's like a Transformer or something she threw away. No Mash.
No Mash.
Did you invent Kids Bop?
In like by accident, oh, like just like did. Miss, like being partially deaf and like.
Oh my god! If I ever found a young Alex Kalanko was one of those Kids Bop kids.
Speaking of a young Alex Kalanko, there when I still worked at daycares, there was this little boy who looked exactly like you, Alex.
There's always that. There's always I will pop because as some, I've also worked in daycares for years and years. There's always every daycare has an Alex Kalanko.
There's always one kid who looked exactly like Alex, same face, same hair, would always wear like a black sweater, and I'd walk in and he would just go to the same corner and be by himself. And then when it was time for snack time, he'd come and sit beside me and be like, Mike, I'm going to my grandma's house, and that's all he'd say. I'm going to my grandma's house today, and it reminds me of how Alex would be like in the same corner all day on Sundays, and then randomly would be like, have you heard this song?
That kid's got a tough life ahead of him.
Very tough. Oh my god, but to bring it back to Death Cab, when I think of Death Cab, I for some reason always think of Meet Me at is it on the Equinox? Yeah, Meet Me on the Equinox off of the Twilight album. I don't like that song. I think it sucks. But their aesthetic was like this, like the flip side of Vampire Weekend, like this depressed Vampire Weekend. That's how they dress.
Yeah.
And I want to know, like, did their aesthetic ever influence your aesthetics?
Less that band, but definitely bands that were influenced by Death Cab, 100%. The aesthetic of Death Cab is like liberal arts core. Like it's like Death Cab is like, this person is going getting a poli sci degree that will be useless. Like the flow is too many words. Like the it's liberal arts core, and like that was like I was too stupid and too angry to have that aesthetic. Like is
Okay, interesting. What about the rest of you guys?
I feel like I leaned more towards the Conor Oberst of like,
okay,
the like definitely like flatter hair, and like more downtrodden, a little bit Western.
Okay. Oh my god, I love that.
Like, do you remember when Superbad came out?
Yes.
And the poster was Jonah Hill wearing that like weird 70s
brown and tan.
Yeah, I love it.
That's That's yeah. my look.
Oh, that's really adorable.
Honestly, that's a look that still works today.
Those bowler like the shirts?
Yeah,
I like
the 70s shirts
yeah.
are coming back. My shirt yeah. actually has a little bit of the 70s.
I like that.
Here.
I think it's yeah. very sophisticated.
Correct oh with the mustache.
Yeah.
Calla. Oh yeah. my god. Yeah. Okay, I'm never logging off this Zoom. Connor and Alex, you have a couple minutes left to give me compliments as well. But
Callum didn't answer yet.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, I wanted to look for Death Cab until I was about 15, and then something okay. switched, and then it was like basketball shorts.
Oh.
Yes. Like counterfeit streetwear.
Yeah.
Like counterfeit okay. Wu-Tang shirts.
Wu-Tang
like,
shirt, yes.
Nothing ever original. Like, it's yes. just, like, impossible to find. And then, like, yeah, like, it's just, like, it turned, like, something flipped. And I was like, no, I'm white trash. I don't know what happened, but, like, I think I was just, like, I'm never going to achieve this. Like, what are we... And also, it's, like, tough because it's, like, it's 35 degrees.
Yeah.
And so humid.
Yeah,
and
you can't wear
hot.
A cardigan in that weather.
No. Like...
Some people would. And, like, it takes real... Talk about, like, you were talking about, like, almost hurting yourself to look emo.
Yes. Yes.
Wearing a cardigan in North Queensland is, like, that's commitment.
Totally.
I can't imagine. I cannot fucking imagine that.
I can't... I'm just realizing, like, there are some places in the world where, like, geographically speaking, it's just harder to be emo.
That's like my grandpa can't. Wearing leather jackets in Nigeria in the 70s. Like, there's no reason.
But there's something to say about the commitment to style despite mm-hmm. like the literal earth being like, don't do this.
Don't
is,
do this.
That's cool.
Not, yeah.
I was thinking of people being fun. like LA had a big goth scene at a point.
Yeah.
And I think about like mm-hmm. the like I couldn't imagine. Because like oh my, yeah. an LA day is like the hottest
yeah,
thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Like, that sounds insane to me.
Yeah.
Okay. Humble brag, he's been to LA.
All right. Mr. What? Industry over here.
Mr. Industry,
oh,
I was just going to say. General,
industry
general,
is
general.
Not interested in me. Like, like, oh,
you're just saying that to give yourself some edge. Yeah. Mr. Edgy Industry. we're getting to the end here, and I think this is like the perfect point yeah. to talk about. Talk a little bit about your latest album.
Yes.
Like, tell us about like the conception of doing it and like what your influences were.
Yeah.
And yeah.
yeah, Connor saying money.
Connor's to get the money from, you know.
Listen, listeners who might be outside of the comedy community, let it be known that we only go into it for the money, honey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all for the money.
We don't do it because we. Yeah, but yes, talk us. I mean, I feel like a sketch album is already like so niche in of itself. Yeah. But you guys are yeah. also like niche sketch performers as well, and it's so I can't stress enough. It's truly so. So funny. I'm not just saying this because you're on the pod and that I like you all. Thank it's you. Hilarious. So
it
like what was
so funny,
yeah,
funny.
Talk us through the journey.
I think a lot of it was we wanted to produce something that we could show people that like how our brains work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that.
Like yeah, you know, showing up to meetings with some like YouTube videos isn't the same as like showing up with like, hey, this is our album
yeah.
and this is our body of work that we have a little more control over.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And we don't have to like, you know, spend hours and hours color correcting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's yeah. been, also like it's, I you make a sketch album sound pretty good or
yeah.
close to professional for relatively cheap in comparison to like, to make
a
YouTube
video
look
yeah.
good uh-huh. is, mm-hmm. is, really expensive. And I think about that every time you talk to people like if you're like I want to get into comedy or I want to make a TV show, I want to do
yeah.
this, and like make your own thing and show it to us. I'm like, that's really expensive.
Yeah,
and really
yeah.
hard and really time consuming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, I get that it's like on some level to weed out the day players.
Mm-hmm.
But like I think it's a huge, huge barrier of entry. And I think something like,
yeah.
like a sketch album is something that we could do. We actually started on it pre-quarantine and then like had like starts
oh,
and stops of being like, maybe we're gonna do this, maybe we're not, maybe we're gonna do it, and then in quarantine being like, oh, we can do this, and we can do it like at a level that's like relatively professional looking
yeah
without having to break the bank. And I think Mm-hmm. I'm just surprised there wasn't more. Like I was like we gotta get this out soon because there's gonna be tons of sketch albums dropping and then
yeah. No, it's true. And I feel like during the beginning of quarantine, everyone was kind of coming out with their comedy albums and their sketch albums. Some of them had already been planned.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the pandemic happened, but a lot of people were like, you know what? I'm just gonna record an album without a laugh track and without an audience and just put it out. But I think it works well. Like you're right. Like this isn't a very saturated time for like sketch albums or comedy albums. Everyone's kind of like, fuck this. So
I also feel like, but all of your like sense of humor as public works like lends itself well to like listening to it alone, like while I was folding laundry. It was like I was like I almost, and this isn't like, obviously you guys are great live as well, and like when live shows come back, definitely check out public works wherever you can. But like I was like, this is almost like perfect that I'm alone in my room right now because it's like an intimate. Like I think of like the sleepover sketch, and I'm like, this is like, I want to be alone listening to this. Like, this is funny. Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like the same thing of like when I'm watching, like, I Think You Should Leave. Like, I don't want anyone to say anything while I'm watching it.
Yeah,
I don't want to have to look at anyone and be like, are you enjoying this? Because it's niche. And it's like, when something is niche, you like it because it's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Right?
And you know what? I'll dare say it's not even niche. It's there's an auteurism to this. Yeah. I feel like, no, true. And I'm not. Ooh. And listen, I know. And
Ben, you got to write a press release.
But it's true because, Abba, you mentioned I Think You Should Leave. And I'm like, totally. Like, I definitely, like you guys definitely are in the same, like, that's the same realm of humor. Yeah. For sure. And like I just think that like, because there's, let's be, we're all fiercely real girls here, we can be real. There's a lot of bad bad comedy, like a lot of bad online stuff. And I feel like, and I don't want to say that like, because obviously it's produced like so well, and like it's like Alex, you said it, you wanted it to come across as professional, and guess what, it succeeded, honey. And it truly,
the thing that I stress the most about.
But it's like I feel like you guys aren't pretending like it's like it's a whatever, quote unquote, normal avenue to watch comedy. You guys are leaning into like the oddness of it, which is which is fun.
And I think a thing that I really appreciate too is that like it lends itself to like, you know, people being able to illustrate it. Like Drawn Up did something for one of your sketches, and like,
and Zach Berg did the other one.
We should have Zach on the pod. Sorry, that was an inside thought. I had an inside thought that I had to say out. But how long did it take to even make this bad boy?
That's a big question.
We started pre-quarantine, and then like we had like a couple of projects that like derailed it. It was kind of like the thing we kept coming back to.
Yeah.
Okay. I'd say about like stops and starts, like it was about 18 months.
Okay.
Yeah. But like there's definitely like chunks in there where it's like we didn't work on it for like 6 months, seven months.
Okay. Right.
But like,
there were a couple of tracks that we had originally recorded in like fall of 2019, and then just totally redid.
Yeah,
okay.
Like the voicemail track in there, we showed to an, I'm going to put audience in heavy quotes, in October 2019, because we did a show on the same day as the Canadian election, and the audience was Rebecca, who I mentioned earlier, who was in a couple of sketches with us, our partners, and the other sketch group on the show, and we showed a voicemail to honestly a little bit of rejection, and I was like, no, this sketch is good, you're wrong. Like,
that was
you're
also
wrong, our partners. Like,
that was also the same show that ended with me shirtless and Connor just slapping my chest, right, throwing Popeyes
at
him.
But
it's like, that's, if you're doing that for a big house and it's getting good reaction, it's so fun.
Yeah.
If you're doing that for like five people, it feels like you're like attacking.
You're just, it's like deviant. It's like you're doing something bad. Yeah.
No, it's
you're
truly
the guy in the Starbucks watching porn.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, it's effectively a sex show at that point.
There's something kinky going on here.
That's so funny. Wait, what was the, you were throwing Popeyes at him? Why?
Why?
It was like a thing, and it turned into a wrestling match.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Oh, it was like a callback to, I think our first sketch was about Popeyes, and then
it was like a
sketch.
Chekhov's gun, but with popcorn.
Yeah.
Funny. Of course.
But as of recording it out, like the actual act of recording it, I think we did like a really hard push the last like 4 months, and it could have been shorter, but we learned a lot about how you can actually write for audio. which is so different.
Ooh, yeah, I also had a kid too.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was like, yeah, I literally, I was gonna going say it was. Yeah. I feel like part of those breaks might have been due to that baby.
Yeah,
that, that was one of the projects that
the Yoko Ono.
Your baby's the Yoko.
The Yoko.
Nah, but not calling a 4-month-old baby the Yoko.
I'm kidding.
I love that.
Darling.
No, I literally love that you have a baby. I'm not. Yeah. I don't. I feel like it adds prestige to our pod.
We've been interviewing a lot of dads
parents,
and moms.
We have. Like, we had Miguel Rivas on.
Yes,
another father.
Who else has a child?
We had Emil. She has
Emil
children.
Emil has a child. Yes, has children.
I feel like I'm doxing people.
Wait,
like,
yeah,
they have
actually,
a child.
But we have been interviewing a lot of parents, and I feel like it does give us a bit of prestige.
I know. I'm like,
I was in on a secret. Doesn't take any prestige to have a kid.
Interesting. Okay, Calm. I'm gonna ask you something. Should I have a kid?
100%.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. It's great having a kid.
On it.
I don't think Ben.
I mean, not
Ben,
now.
I'm gonna,
what
for
about
a second
Enzo?
Opinion. Ben,
oh,
for
right.
a second opinion. Okay. For a second opinion.
Second opinion.
Maybe wait. I'm just put, for you personally, maybe.
Right.
Abba, go for it. Ben. Like,
no, I shouldn't have a kid. What,
no,
what makes you think I am more qualified to have a kid than Ben? Ben is far more qualified to have a kid than me.
No, Abba, I disagree.
No,
I
you
think,
are.
I think I'd be good at it for like a couple of days, but then I would. I would literally be like, I need to get back to my old routine. I can't do this.
I feel like you would succeed. At, like, you just logistically, like, you live at home. You are earning.
Great reason to have a kid. I live at home.
Yes! You don't
Your
pay...
mom can help out.
Exactly.
True,
the money that you earn can go towards the child.
Oh,
you have support.
I'm not
exactly.
True.
Family,
this
community. This is a perfect place to raise a child.
Honestly, I'm getting knocked up tonight.
Get knocked up, honey. Get knocked up for me, because it's not happening for years and years and years and years and years and years.
Ben, Ben's kid's gonna like live at home and refer to Ben as his brother.
Like, yeah, that'll be one of those.
One of those
brother
kids.
Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
That's
when
so funny.
When I was 16, unprompted, my dad just looked up from the kitchen table and told me, if I ever get someone pregnant, I'm not allowed to move back home.
Like that sometimes. My dad said that to me too. He was like, if you ever get pregnant, you can't live at home.
I think because it happens to one of their friends and then they get scared. Like, I think that's what happens.
That's
They're
so
like,
stupid.
I am done having kids. I do not need these shits just multiply. I don't need
So, Callum, now if you tried to go back to Australia to visit your family, would they say no?
Yeah, I'd have to get a motel room. It'd be real awkward.
I'm a man of my word.
Yeah, we'd meet at a food court at like.
I'm just, you're meeting in my Starbucks as I kick you out. Like, listen, we can't have these types of fights. And you can't have kids in a Starbucks.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I was going to ask something, one last question about Death Cab, and it completely fucking slipped my mind. Oh, my God.
I know what I was
any saying. Guest talked less about the artist?
Yes.
No,
yes.
No. No, honestly, we have like, so many episodes where it's just like 5 minutes of us talking about the artist.
I know. The other episode I'm on with Mike for Bummer Boy or Bummer Boys were guests. We talked about Alexis on Fire for maybe 4 sentences in the last 2 hours.
We say like the name once and Ajax and we're like,
yeah,
that's enough.
Yeah, that's all you need. Let's talk about other bullshit. Yeah.
If anything, this is an episode that I'd categorize as where we talk about the artist a lot.
Yeah, so, we actually did.
Yeah, I'm not
we
gonna
actually
lie.
Did a lot.
See, I've seen a lot of the episodes Adonis has guested.
Yes,
on.
Yes, yes.
And just listening to Adonis talk about how much they love music is such a treat.
Adonis like is also exactly. like knows so much, and literally like when we would do live shows where it'd be just me and Adonis because Abba was in Halifax,
yeah.
It would be like truly I thought it was just like a classroom that
a
became
lecture.
Public to Zoom. Like, I was like, okay, so tell me more about Bjork's
yes.
cinema career. Like, and Adonis would just go off.
He gave you a pop quiz at the end of every
episode. Basically,
yeah,
like
truly. Well, there were he would quiz me at points. There were actually moments I think where he would quiz me.
That feels like Adonis. That feels. That,
yeah. No, I remember once I was like, we were talking about Bjork, and I was like, I've never seen Dance from the Dark. I was like, what's it about? And he was like, well, what do you think it's about? And I was like, I love you.
I love them so much. I miss them so much. We have to have them on again. Oh,
oh
my
we got
god.
It. Oh my god. Love and them. I want the three of you to know that when I do have my child, guess what I'm gonna name him?
What?
Public Works.
That poor child is going to have shitty SEO.
I was just about to say that.
fucking that, kid.
That is the ultimate hurdle of naming our group Public Works is we're just like, oh, we're un-Googleable. Like,
oh my god, no, actually though.
yeah.
Fucking mistake. Here's what you should do is when you name anything, Google it and see if it's tons of different websites or just one other website that shows up.
You know what I will say though? It gives you guys an edge because in the early 2000s, if there was like a band that you knew of that was cool and indie, you couldn't find them like publicly. You couldn't just find them in like a record store. You had to know about them through word of mouth. Whereas public, where now, like, you can find any band, even a band with only two fans, you can find them online. Yeah, you can become a part of that fandom. But you guys are doing the equivalent of like putting a sticker on like a bathroom door and like some dive bar for your band in the early 2000s.
I can't wait to tell that to the industry.
Yes.
And then being like,
Galaxy Brain.
Stop. Like, what are you talking about? That's a dumb idea.
It's a perfect spin.
The margins on this shit, you need every single viewer.
Also, when we started trying to do stuff professionally, our email that we made for Public Works originally was publicworks69@gmail.com. So we're like, oh, we can't use this.
No.
This to anyone professional.
Oh, my God. I love. And I think Public Works 69 is the perfect place to end. Please tell us one more time where we can get the album. What do you guys have coming up? And, you know, give us your socials and tell us where we can find you.
You can find the album on all streaming services. You just got to search for Public Works, fish through the ones that aren't us. And you'll find the one. If you search Public Works Condo Art, it should show up on most services.
Yeah.
But you can also find it at publicworkscomedy.bandcamp.com. And you can watch our videos at youtube.com/publicworkscomedy. And you'll find our Twitters and Instagrams from there. I'm on Twitter at Alex Klenko and Instagram at just_a_turd. If you want to find that.
I'm on Twitter at Callum Ratten. Ratten spelled W-R-A-T-T-E-N.
Yes.
I'm off social media, but if you want to follow someone who enters a lot of online contests, you can follow at Canner Law.
Just retweeting, being like, I'm going to win a printer. Like his.
Okay, I love that.
That's
stand.
Great.
Oh
yeah, check out Public Works, you freaks listening. You got
yes.
It.
And don't forget to follow me at ABAQUAN on Twitter, one more N on Instagram, and Nostalgic Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Like, comment, leave a rating, subscribe.
Yes, leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. It's the best way to support the pod. You could follow me at BenSosaWrite on all social media platforms. Big development in my life.
Yeah, I know, I love
Big
it.
Big development.
I love it. It's so profesh.
It's so profesh. I'm LinkedIn.
You're LinkedIn, honey. You're working, honey.
I just got that.
I can't wait for you to Well, you just got the joke? Oh,
yeah. No, this is the part of the pod where I really run out of juice. So everything I say cannot be used against me in a court of law, okay? Because I'm not.
I miss you, Ben. I miss you.
Right?
I miss you too. I truly miss. I miss seeing all of you around.
I know.
I feel like this is the beginning. Callum, great friendship. Connor, I cannot wait to see you back working the switches.
Ben said no lies. Ben is out of juice. Like Ben is.
I'm so sorry, Connor. That sounded so disrespectful.
It did.
You do so much. You literally do so much more for the community than that. I have to make it clear to the listener that Connor does so much more.
There was a band in that I saw a bunch in high school who had a guy literally with switches, and that was the like light show for the band of just like a plywood box. With a whole bunch of light switches in it. It was actually Jay Reed who runs the Making
Dogs.
Oh,
no way. Yeah, no, Jay. It was his band. Okay, weird.
I love that.
That is
okay.
So funny.
Niche.
Yeah.
Oh,
my God. Well, thank you again, the boys of Public Works, for coming on the pod.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks.
Of course. It's been such a great time. Please check out their work. Again, subscribe to Nostalgic, and we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Okay, so you've been listening to ABBA.
And you've been listening to Ben. Bye.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.
Sonar! Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.